This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
Sam Black believes your church and my church have a choice about pornography. We can ignore it, we can scold people caught in it, or we can graciously lead people out of it. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and Sam Black is my guest today on Family Life's Inside Out, where we look at how God transforms his people from the inside out. Sam and I are talking about the topic of his 2023 book, The Healing Church, what churches get wrong about pornography and how to fix it. Welcome, Sam, to Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yes, there's so much. There's so much we could talk about. Let's just start here. Sam, pornography has been normalized, and not just for what we picture in some stereotypical vision of who looks at pornography, but teens and women are engaging with pornography, as are some pastors. And what they're watching is often violent. So, Sam, what do you think everyone should know about the nature and pervasiveness of today's porn?
Well, I think you've hit it on the nail on the head right off the bat, is that it has become very normalized across our culture because it's been so pervasive. And it's been pervasive for some decades now. So we like to think that, well, how much pornography is out there, that's a brand new thing. But literally in the 90s and on, even the 80s, there was a lot of pornography out there, and a lot of people were being exposed at a very young age. So that's had a deep impact on individuals personally with how they view pornography, how they have become more accepting of pornography, because it is often introduced at such a young age. Mm-hmm. So two-thirds of men in the church, a third of women in the church, say they have an ongoing struggle with pornography.
Mm.
And when we look at that even more deeply, men 18 to 30, 36% say they're watching pornography daily. Now, these are Christian men.
Wow.
Christian men of all ages, 37% say they're watching multiple times a week. And when we look at women, they are saying that age group of 18 to 30, 14% said they're watching pornography several times per week, and 18% of them say they watch it at least weekly.
So Sam, why is pornography so successful in trapping people and drawing them in, and what makes it so difficult to quit? Why do they stay stuck?
That is the question that we really need to be asking. Thank you for asking that. Pornography is a pernicious trap that preys on people when they are most vulnerable. Now, that sounds really ominous, doesn't it?
Sure does.
What do I mean?
Sure does.
Most people who have an intense struggle with pornography first saw pornography or sexualized media as a child,
uh-huh.
at a time when they were indeed most vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
So three factors are often present in the histories of people who struggle with pornography. First, early exposure. Number two, the ongoing use and repetitious use of pornography, often through adolescence. And number three, some trauma, some pain that's often happened early in life but can happen later too.
Uh-huh.
These are three common factors. And the average age for a child to first see pornography is somewhere between the ages of 8 and 12, depending on which study you're looking at.
Amazing.
And that was the story of my own life. I thought somehow that I was uniquely defective when I returned to the church and wanted to dedicate every part of my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this one struggle with pornography that I couldn't seem to shake. But I was exposed to pornography at the age of 10. Mm-hmm. I didn't even understand the basic mechanics of sex. I remember coming out of a Florida home, and my brother, who was 10 years older, and his friend were looking at a magazine sideways, and that didn't make any sense. I know I'm dating myself off the magazine today.
Right.
But I looked at them, and how could you read sideways? And I asked them if they were looking at it, and they turned it around. And even though I grew up in a Christian home, I didn't step away. I stepped forward.
Uh-huh.
So that's the early exposure. And I just told you a whole story. It's so impactful on that young brain that almost every person you speak to that's an adult who saw pornography first as a child can tell you a whole story about that first exposure,
right,
even though they can't tell you anything else about that day. That's how impactful
yes.
it is on that young child's brain.
Yes.
Number two, I had a friend, and his dad had pornography that was falling out of his closet. I could take anything I wanted, and I did. And so that began that repetitious use.
Uh-huh.
Finally, though I was raised in a Christian home, my father was a hypocritically violent person. And I didn't realize at the time, but I would escape to pornography when I felt fear or frustration or anger or had a feeling of lack of self-worth. And so pornography becomes that salve, that secret salve that people use to anesthetize their emotions and to regulate their moods. And it becomes an escape that becomes a temporary but also shameful fix that keeps them trapped in the cycle of addiction.
It feels like a need, yeah.
It feels like a physical need.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let me just take a moment, Sam, to reintroduce this conversation for those who are just joining us. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. I'm talking today with Sam Black, author of The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. Sam, let's just run right to your subtitle. What have churches been getting wrong as they work against pornography's influence? And I know this is a huge question. What would be a better approach?
Well, first of all, what are churches getting wrong?
Mm-hmm.
We can hit there a little bit, but I also wanted to show people what churches are doing right.
Yes, please.
So while I was writing the book, I interviewed more than 70 pastors, ministry leaders, counselors, etc., who were doing this work well. And so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can find out what churches are doing well and imitate what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But first of all, what are we doing that's not so great?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is we often think of that adult, that suddenly they're just somehow confronted with pornography and they either say yes or no. And we miss that underlying factor of the early exposure, the ongoing use and repetition, and how they learn to use pornography as an escape.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like a 500-pound gorilla on a person's back, and they've promised themselves and God and others that they will never view pornography again. But in the church, we've typically, the response to that is to simply teach a purity sermon.
Mm-hmm.
God's not for that. Don't do that. He hates that. This is what Jesus said. And all of that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
However, that doesn't help the person trapped in the stronghold very much because they already know
they do.
They need to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't seem to get the gorilla off their back.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need is what I found in these so many of these awesome churches is a safe place where it's okay to come as you are. And we have a safe process for deep discipleship that takes you to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And so those churches were really doing this work well. Another thing that we probably get wrong is we underestimate how much pornography is undermining every ministry of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
From children's ministries to teen ministries to adult ministries, even ministries to senior citizens.
I'll talk about that, yes.
Well, pornography doesn't have a demographic.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised at how many people I've talked to who are older who said, you know, this has been my secret struggle throughout my life.
Mm.
And so what these churches were doing well is saying, hey, we can practice James 5:16 in our church. We can confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we allow the body of Christ to begin doing ministry with some strong parameters, with some support, not just saying, hey, I'm going to pray for you and hope that everything's going to be fine, but really we learn to ask questions and then our prayers go much deeper. God does the healing work,
mm-hmm.
but he uses the body of Christ to walk one another through a journey that leads to lasting freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Galatians 6 is very emphatic about how you who are spiritually mature,
right,
gently correct. And then it continues to go on to say, don't get tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get tired of supporting one another, especially, it says, to those within the faith.
Mm-hmm. So this is the work of the church. This is that encouragement of each other by the, I guess, accountability, but also by the continual prayer and the continual support of people. We can make that part of our ministry to them.
You know, this is a lot to crack down. And that's why I wrote a book, How Do We Create a Safe Environment? What kind of processes can we lead people through good discipleship? What does this look like? how do we create that kind of culture? How is this not the pastor's job?
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of pastors are listening going, oh, wait, I don't have time for this. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. That's what the body of Christ is for. And we show you how to do it within the healing church. That's what these other churches were doing. In fact, the pastors I interviewed said, Sam, you have to understand something about this work. I don't do more work today. I do less, because having discipled people through a encouraging process with other people in the faith, now I have more volunteers than I've ever had before.
Mm.
I've had more people who are willing to mentor someone else because having found that freedom, they can't help but want to give it to others.
Mm. That is encouraging for the position of the pastor. Sam, before we go, what words of encouragement do you have for listeners who feel repeatedly drawn back to pornography and perhaps are not going to a church that currently is implementing some of the very encouraging processes that you've talked about?
Yeah, so a lot of men and women say to me, Sam, I know that pornography has had this major impact on my brain and on my psyche. Is there any real possibility that I can truly live in freedom? Will this finally go away? Is this possible?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to encourage you with is, through a safe place and a safe process, living in freedom is absolutely possible. You need to press into it to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this encouragement, I also have to offer some caution. You don't find freedom on your own. Trying harder and leaning on your willpower and your resolve never lasts.
Mm-hmm.
You must involve others. And that's why we have the body of Christ.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement, both to be the body for each other and then to seek the body. We need each other.
We always need each other. Right?
We always need each other. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sam, for your expertise and for writing this book and for joining me here today on Inside Out.
I'm grateful to continue this conversation again.
I hope we will. My guest has been Sam Black, author of The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. I'm Martha Menikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.